Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game, it is Titans Monday. And the Titans got annihilated last night on national TV against the Packers by a final score of 40-14. But they didn't have to have it, thanks in large part to the Steelers, who miraculously found a way to knock off the Colts earlier in the day. Win on Sunday against the Texans in the AFC South is yours. But it is Titans Monday, which means we focus on the game that just happened, and it was not a good game by any stretch of the imagination. It is time now for the three things. Three things we liked, three things we did not like. And, of course, we start with the three things we liked, and that was very hard to do, to come up with three things from last night's game. But we start at number one.
Number one.
Number one for me was the double up score. The one thing about getting behind is that when you get the ball in the second half, there is a little mental edge. And that is, hey, if we score right before the half, get the ball back, and we score again, then we're right back in this game. You fear it when you're on the other side of it. Kansas City did it to you in the AFC title game last year, and it hurts. But the Titans were down 19-0, and it looked like it might be 59-0 New England in the snow the way that that game was going. They scored before the half, even after the refs totally screwed them on the block field goal. And then they scored to start the second half on what I thought was a great play call by Arthur to give themselves a chance to make it a five-point game in the third quarter. That's what you want to do. The double-up score, I loved it. And that's what, you know, that's why you take the ball in the second half. They got it to within five in the second half, which makes you think that if they just play a little bit better, maybe they could actually compete in a game like this.
Number two.
The second thing I like, no big injuries yesterday. Unless I am mistaken, I don't think there was one big injury. And when you're playing in Green Bay this late in the year, in the snow, you always worry about somebody slipping and somebody falling and somebody. And the truth is, the Titans didn't have to have this game. A year ago when they were in a similar position, they played the Saints. They didn't have to have the game. And when they didn't have to have the game, they didn't play Derrick Henry. Now this week, obviously, they played everybody, and they played pretty much everybody the whole game. And they didn't have a major injury. A.J. Brown went down and had to limp off the field. And by the way, A.J. Brown does that a lot. I don't know if anybody's noticed. A.J. catches the ball, gets up limping, and you're like, oh, no, not A.J. But it literally happens once a week. So that was probably the closest the Titans came to a big, bad injury. But nothing to Malcolm Butler, nothing to Kevin Byard, nothing to Derrick Henry, nothing to A.J. Brown or Corey Davis or Ryan Tannehill. So knock on wood that they didn't suffer injuries in their embarrassing beatdown, butt-kicking in the snow. I know it's bad when the second thing you liked about the game is no injuries, but that's where I am with yesterday's game.
Number three.
Number three is David Long Jr. Now, here's the thing. David Long Jr., I'm not totally sure I understand exactly what his game is. Last year in the playoffs, he came in and got his real first taste of being a defensive player when Jayon Brown injured his shoulder and had to come out. And against the Patriots, and I believe against the Ravens, David Long Jr. played a lot. David Long Jr. played pretty well. So I thought he was definitely going to work himself more into the rotation. But then when Jayon Brown got hurt this year, they wanted to use Will Compton. And I was kind of scratching my head saying, wait a minute, what about David Long Jr.? David Long Jr. is a poor man's Jayon Brown. He's not as good as Jayon Brown, and he's never going to be as good as Jayon Brown. But he's faster than most of the inside linebackers they have. He can cover a little bit. He can tackle a little bit. I think he was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year at Oklahoma 2 years ago. He's undersized, like Jayon, but last night I thought he was very active. I thought he was all over the field. He was the one guy on defense who I thought flashed. And when I watched the game, I thought, you know what? David Long Jr. played pretty well. So that's the third thing I got for you that I liked, was David Long Jr. And if I could add a fourth, not serious, but I thought about putting the Steelers win yesterday was by far the best thing that happened to the Tennessee Titans, without a doubt. And then there was the Browns loss to the Jets, which was also good as well. So I use those two, but really, for me, David Long Jr. was the third thing. Three things I didn't like, this was a lot easier.
Number one.
The inability for the Titans to recognize that they weren't playing in normal conditions. This drives me nuts about Mike Vrabel, is when Mike Vrabel just basically ignores the obvious. So we all think defensive coordinator is a problem, and the lack of a defensive coordinator, or the fact that, hey, you know, last year when you had Dean Pease, you guys kind of had the same kind of crummy defense, a little bit better, but you guys found a way to kind of sneak your way into getting some sacks and sneak your way into not being a terrible defense. This year, they can't do that. And Vrabel, I felt like, had the same arrogance when it came to the snow, because there was this belief of, oh, you know, they got to play in it too. It's the same conditions. It's the same. Green Bay looks like a different team in the snow. There's a reason they used the big guy, A.J. Dillon, as much as they did, was third on the depth chart. There's a reason why. Because they adjusted their game to the snow. We've all seen Aaron Rodgers play in normal conditions. Aaron zips the ball everywhere. Did you notice last night he threw to the backs with a lot of air under the ball? He threw to Devontae Adams with a lot of air under the ball. He threw the ball, just tons of air, tons of. The Packers know how to play in these conditions. The Packers blitzed more in these conditions. Why? Because it's harder to get open for Brown and Davis when they can't cut like they're used to cutting. The Packers look like they knew what they were doing, and it's probably because they did. The Titans looked like they were trying to skate like they were the Predators yesterday out there on that field, and I thought it was the arrogance of, ah, it's just a little snow. It's the same. It's always. No, no, no. That's not how it works, and I didn't feel like that's how the Titans should have approached the game, and I thought it bit them in the rear end yesterday, the fact that they couldn't adjust at all to the conditions.
Number two.
The number two thing that bothered me was the pass offense. Here's the problem. Quessenberry cannot block. I mean, I understand it's a nice story. I brought this up literally every week. He's your left tackle. He can't block. At some point, Vrabel has to think, am I better off moving Kelly to left tackle and trying out Marshall Newhouse, a veteran NFL offensive tackle, a swing kind of guy? Am I better off trying Marshall Newhouse at right tackle or even Quessenberry at right tackle? Because how many times last night did they show a replay of a Green Bay blitz and it was Chris Collins were saying, well, you see right here, they're going to jam up the left side, and then Quessenberry takes this guy and that guy's open and goes right at Tannehill. I mean, we can get on Tannehill for his numbers all we want, and I just was sitting there telling you all, telling Joe Rexroad, I don't think Tannehill is a good cold-weather quarterback. In December, in New England, Miami, and Green Bay, he's 0-5, and the average score is the opponent's 34-9. That's not good. So I don't think Tannehill is a good cold-weather quarterback. I thought Tannehill was awful yesterday, but the pass offense was brutal. And by the way, what happened to Corey Davis? This guy that everybody wants to give a bunch of money to and re-sign. Oh, my God, we got to have Corey Davis. We got to have Corey Davis is better than A.J. Brown, Chris Sanders tells me. Where was Corey Davis last night? Did Corey Davis even make a catch?
No.
Where was he? So the pass offense last night, you knew when you went in there. You knew your defense sucked. You knew you were going to have to keep up with Rodgers, and the pass offense had no interest in doing that last night. They were abysmal.
Number three
bothers me because it really tells me that the Titans are going to really struggle with this in the playoffs, I believe, which is Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams did whatever they wanted to do out there. And a lot of people would say, now, Jared, don't get too down on the Titans. Don't get too down on them. Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams do that to a lot of people. That's why they're Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. And yes, maybe you're right. Maybe we should look at it like, hey, that's Aaron and Devontae, and that's what they do. My dad doesn't watch a ton of Green Bay Packer football because he kind of watches the Titans, and then he'll watch a little other football, but really he just watches the Titans. He watched Devontae Adams last night, and I'm like, that guy is like Michael Jordan right now at wide receiver. The way he catches, I mean, he catches everything. Well, when you get into the playoffs this year and you play the Buffalo Bills, they've got Stephon Diggs, and he's going to try to do the same thing. And when you play the Kansas City Chiefs, Just like they've got Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, the Kansas City Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, and they're going to try to do the exact same thing. So the fact that they went into the game, the Titans did, knowing that Aaron throws the ball 13 times a game to Devontae Adams and not putting up any resistance in doing so, is a big concern. And I absolutely did not like it. And it worries me about the playoffs. So even though yesterday's game in the standings didn't mean a whole heck of a lot, all you got to do is go to Houston, week 17, win. You're hosting a home playoff game. You don't even have to win in order to get into the playoffs. You just need Buffalo to beat Miami. You're in the playoffs. You just need John Gruden to coach better at the end of the game last Saturday, and you're in the playoffs. But just because the game didn't hold a ton of weight does not mean that there weren't things that we saw yesterday that were pretty disconcerting as far as the Titans are concerned. 615-737-1025. Our phone lines are down as far as you calling in, so use the text line. 615-737-1025. What bothered you? What did you like? What did you not like about yesterday's game? 615-737-1025 is that phone number. And coming up next on Titans Monday, given the realities of what the Packers represent, wasn't there something about last night's game that if you really, really like the Titans and you really believe in the Titans, that should really bother you? Or do you just flush it off? We'll discuss next. Stillman & Company's live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It is Titans Monday on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, Mike, there haven't been, you know, too many games this year that you guys have been able to win when you haven't scored, you know, 30, 35 points. At this point, you know, are you confident that you can win a game without scoring 30, 35 points, that your defense will be able to make enough stops?
I don't think anybody should be confident in anything we did tonight.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel last night. Are you confident that the defense should just be able to get a little stoppage? You know, do just a little something? I don't think we should be confident in anything. Thanks, Mike. Great insight, Mike. Thank you, sir. Let's be honest. Well, I shouldn't say that. Ian, I feel like there are two takes you can have from yesterday's game. Two legitimate takes if you're a Titans fan.
Okay.
There is the shaded positively Titans take, and then there is the reality of a Titans
What's
take.
The shaded positivity one?
It is the, hey, look, it was a tough game, and Green Bay's good, and it was in the snow. They won't ever have to play in Green Bay in the playoffs. Dump it, move on, play a better game. The refs screwed them on two bad calls.
Okay.
The reality is this. I think the Titans will beat the Texans this week. And even if the Titans don't beat the Texans, I truly think that Miami is going to lose at Buffalo. And when Miami does lose at Buffalo, because Miami never plays well at Buffalo in December, just go look up Ryan Tannehill's stats in his career in Buffalo in December. When Miami loses to Buffalo, the Titans will be into the playoffs. So I think they're going to lose. I think they're going to make the playoffs no matter what. But I also think they're going to beat the Texans.
I'm a little bit worried if Fitzpatrick plays for Miami, if he has a little revenge game action going up against Buffalo. He's familiar up there. But Tua will probably start, to your point.
Yeah, I just think that they feel like they made their bed with Tua, and then they're just going to take him out in the middle of a game. And I don't think that ultimately is going to work with them.
Yeah.
But I don't think they should have made the move anyways. So who knows? But I think they're going to make the playoffs. The question is, how far can they go in the playoffs? Like, does anybody think that they can go far in the playoffs? I had somebody text me earlier today, and they said, yeah, but last year you didn't think they could beat New England and Baltimore, which, by the way, I then screenshotted a conversation from the week of the New England game in which I picked the Titans to beat New England and sent it back to him and said, that wasn't what I said to you then. But I remember, just like how this game is going to be a 3:25 start, I remember last year doing the pregame show with the noon kickoff games going on, and one of them was Miami at New England, and Fitzpatrick was playing quarterback, and Miami beat the Patriots in week 17. And I remember Chris Sanders and I could barely do the pregame show and Floyd, the three of us could barely do the pregame show because we were watching that New England-Miami game. And we were, like, basically cheering during the commercial breaks, Chris and I. And, you know, Floyd was just stoic sitting there watching the game. Chris and I were practically cheering watching New England blow it at the end because we knew that that meant that they'd get New England in the first round and not Kansas City in the first round. I felt good about the New England game. I picked them to beat New England. I thought Baltimore was going to be a really close, tough field goal game. And then I thought they'd get beat by Kansas City. When you can't rush the passer and you can't cover, which the Titans couldn't do last year, but they can do it a whole heck of a lot better than they can this year, you can't beat the Kansas Cities. You don't want to match up with Kansas City. You want Pittsburgh, who can't run the ball, and throwing the ball is truly a struggle for them at this point in the season. You want Miami, whose backup quarterback is actually better than their starting quarterback right now. You don't want Buffalo on the road with Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen. You don't want Kansas City with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Patrick Mahomes. You don't want those guys. And last night put any doubt that I had that the Titans could actually compete with a team like that? Any doubt that I had that the Titans wouldn't win that game is now gone. They have no shot against a team of that caliber, which Kansas City is, which I believe Buffalo is. Joe Rexroad, when we just had Joe on the show, Joe brought up, and I thought it was all cockamamie, but Joe brought up, well, you know, they beat that Buffalo team in October with it. I don't care. I don't care what they did in October to Buffalo. Buffalo is for freaking real. You're going to see it tonight. They're going to smack the Patriots. They are mean on defense. They are aggressive. They are athletic. They've got good corners. They've got good passing game. They've got a great quarterback right now, the way Josh Allen is playing. They've got Stephon Diggs is probably the number one, two, or three wide receiver in the NFL. They are killing it right now. You don't want any part of the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo with a quarterback who's not a good cold weather quarterback. You don't want any part of Kansas City. And everybody will tell you that, well, all the Titans have got to do is they've got to go and establish Derrick Henry. And if they run Derrick Henry, no, that doesn't work against those teams. And here's why it doesn't work. And last night was a perfect example. Did everybody not think, hey, it's the snow. Derrick Henry, hand him the ball. If you give Derrick Henry the ball in the snow, Derrick Henry is going to work on them in that cold weather. They're not going to want to tackle Derrick Henry. Did you hear that? That's what everybody said. Tony Dungy said it. It didn't happen, did it? Now, Derrick was fine yesterday. I had no problem with Derrick. Derrick was fine. But it didn't really help him win. Just like everybody was saying that before the AFC title game. You got to give the ball to Derrick Henry. In that cold weather, Kansas City be on the sideline. Derrick Henry running the ball. Derrick Henry. They got a 17-7 lead doing that. But then eventually Kansas City stopped the run. Floyd always said that if a defensive coach wants to stop the run, defensive coach is going to stop the run. They're just going to just bring as many people up to stop the run, which is exactly what Green Bay did. And the Titans didn't find a way to get open last night. And in the AFC title game, the Titans, they're not great at pass protecting when it comes to the offensive line. Chris Collinsworth, last night on the broadcast, brought this up. Go back to the AFC title game. What was different about last night's game and the AFC championship game against Kansas City? And to me, it was that the Titans had a 17-7 lead in the AFC title game. They didn't have a 17-7 lead yesterday, but it was the same old elite quarterback does whatever he wants, and Derrick Henry can't really get going because your defense can't give you enough stops to give you a cushion. Chris Collinsworth last night on the broadcast talking about how the Titans have to go about winning.
This is a good team. They just have to maintain their style of play. They have to be able to, you know, these wide receivers are big physical guys. They want them involved in the running game. They're tight ends. They can play power football. They can throw it well enough. They can get their quarterback outside the pocket. But when they have to go to a drop back passing game, their protection just does not hold up very well with that.
Yeah, you know, they just, when they can't play their game, they're just not very good. You know, Tom Brady didn't get to play his game in the Super Bowl when he was down 28-3. Didn't matter. You're going to be forced at some point to not be able to play your game. Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, they were the hottest team in the league last year. Then the Titans, we're not going to let you play your game. They didn't win. The Titans can do that when the other team doesn't have an elite passing attack. But when they do, like Rodgers and Adams, or Mahomes and Kelce and Hill, or Allen and Diggs and John Brown, who's a Titans killer, when they do that, the Titans don't have an answer. And last night was a perfect example of that. 615-737-1025. We'll get your follow-up text, your final text, your thoughts on the Titans last night. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming the Game Nashville app.
Ryan, is this the, I guess, the shakiest you felt the protection in a while in a game? And then did you feel like you had to force some throws tonight, given the situation?
Yeah, I mean, once you get down, you know, you're going to have to, I wouldn't say force throws, but you're going to have to be aggressive to try to make some stuff happen in order to move the football and score points. You're going to be able to be as methodical on your drives. But, no, at the end of the day, I wasn't able to make those plays.
There you go. That was Ryan Tannehill. Were they forcing it in the passing game? Of course they were forcing it in the passing game. Here's the problem. Do you think you're going to run the gauntlet of the AFC playoffs and at some point not find yourself trailing and having to throw the ball to get back in a game? Peyton Manning, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, right?
Yes.
Peyton Manning found himself the one year where he truly won the Super Bowl. I mean, I know he won the Super Bowl in his last year, but that was basically the defense doing all the work and Peyton was just kind of there. Peyton won the Super Bowl in his prime once. And the year that he won that Super Bowl, they were down 21-0 at home in the AFC title game to the New England Patriots. The two-time defending champion Patriots had a 21-0 lead on Peyton and the Colts, and Peyton had to come back at the RCA Dome and win the game. That's the only Super Bowl they won. Think about this. You think Ryan Tannehill can do that? Do you think Ryan Tannehill, and it's really the whole pass offense. It's not just Tannehill, but with a third string left tackle, with a guy who's probably truly a backup at right tackle. Do you really think the Titans could come back down 21-0 against a good team? I know they can come back against bad teams, but can they come back against a good team? The one team that was a good team that they came back on was the Ravens. That they did earlier this year. I think they were down 21-10 in that game. They came back, forced overtime, won that game. But do you really think they can host the Cleveland Browns and get down like they got down the first time and come back against them if they have to? That they could get down at Kansas City, get down at Buffalo, get down against Seattle in the Super Bowl, get down against Green Bay. You don't think at some point trying to run the gauntlet that they would struggle in that regard. So at some point you're going to have to force throws, and at some point you're going to have to hit them. You do have a Pro Bowl wide receiver. You do have another wide receiver who didn't catch any balls last night who's looking to get paid. They're going to need to catch the football. You got a $30 million quarterback. He's going to need to throw the football and at some point get you back in a game. Text into the text line. Text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Texter said, Rashawn Evans clearly misses Logan Ryan's leadership and his on-field direction. He leads the team in penalties. When the middle linebacker is called for more penalties than any of the offensive linemen, it is an absolute major problem. Playing next to Evans last night, David Long Jr. looked like the far superior player. And I would agree with that. I would completely agree with that. That David Long Jr. looked better. And I've just decided that Rashawn Evans is a replacement level guy. And that's not the end of the world. There's a spot on teams for that. But I don't think there's a spot on this team next year for that, because when Jayon Brown returns, Jayon Brown's going to make significantly more money. I think Rashawn Evans is due $3 million, you know, somewhere in the $3 million range next season. I think you try to trade that contract off the books, pick up a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick, something you can use, and then you re-sign Jayon Brown and you make him your main middle linebacker. And I know some people don't want to give up on Rashawn Evans, but I'm ready to give up on Rashawn Evans. Remember the Mike Vrabel line? Don't do dumb blank to hurt the team. Evans does dumb blank to hurt the team. He did dumb blank yesterday to hurt the team. That's what he does. Text through the text line. As bad as the Titans' pass rush and secondary was last night, the Titans' defense only gave up 26 points. Between the terrible call when Aaron Jones stepped out at the 40 and the ticky-tack call on Evans on the third down in the first quarter, the defense wasn't great, but they still kept us in the game more than the score suggests. I disagree for two reasons. Number one, I thought that was a legit call on Rashawn Evans. I not only thought it was hands to the face, I thought he went back for seconds on hands to the face. I thought that it was stupid on his part, but I thought it was a good call by the refs. Ian, did you agree with the hands to the face call on Rashawn Evans?
I mean, I can see why they called that one. You know, you on the Aaron Jones stepping out of bounds, the ref is like directly looking right at it. You're like,
inexcusable.
Hey, why? How could you miss that? Other than, you know, whatever in the snow, and you're thinking it's going to be returned, and whatever the mentality is about calling plays and not calling plays and reviews is kind of all messed up. But that one is obvious. They should have called the Aaron Jones stepping out of bounds. This one is a little bit more, you know, it's a penalty. His hand was grabbing the face mask. The offensive lineman's head did tilt back, and you're right, it did look like even kind of after the initial, he kind of went back and gave him another shove. So I could see why they called that one.
So I thought it was a good call. I thought it was a fair call, and I thought that Evans screwed up. The Aaron Jones thing was a terrible call, and I thought it was a huge momentum swinger and probably put the game – you had just clawed your way back into the game, and it kind of was like all the air came out of your sails after they scored that touchdown. That being said, what about the defense gave you any hope that they wouldn't have scored on that anyways with the ball at the Titan 40? And I didn't have much there. Boy, Adoree Jackson, awesome. It looked like Adoree Jackson thought that he stepped out of bounds when he stepped off the snow and stepped like on back onto the green grass. I thought that that was something that didn't really get brought up, because it looked like Adoree like stopped and then realized the play was still going and then tried to catch up, and he just couldn't do that. Ryan texts into the text line and says, when is John Robinson's name going to come up in play for questionable personnel moves? He spent a first-round draft pick on Isaiah Wilson, who hasn't played a meaningful snap, traded away Jarrell Casey, and acquired Vic Beasley and Jadeveon Clowney, who did absolutely nothing and did not push to hire a defensive coordinator, just to name a few of the mistakes. That comes from Ryan. Don't forget, Christian Fulton was inactive yesterday, a healthy scratch by the Titans. I gotta believe that injury is still lingering for Fulton if they're going to scratch him. Either that or his practices have just sucked.
But if he's not listed on the injury report.
I know.
You know? So it is. It's confusing. He even tweeted, I think it was last week, right?
He thought he'd be back on the field and he wasn't.
So it is. Yeah.
I hear you. But at the same time, I mean, it was an awful offseason for Robinson. And I'm one of the biggest John Robinson supporters there is out there. 5 years as general manager, 5 winning seasons, 3 playoff appearances, an AFC title game. I mean, look, you were the worst team in football when he took over. So I feel like any time that you discuss John Robinson and the horrific offseason that John Robinson had that just continues to get worse, you can't do it fairly without explaining that you think he's a good general manager or that you think he's done a good job. Now, the one thing I will not get over is Logan Ryan. Of all the mistakes that John Robinson made this year, and there's a lot. I mean, Isaiah Wilson, and I hope he's getting the help he needs, and I hope he comes out of this stronger, but something's wrong there.
In Robinson's defense, we did talk a lot about how the draft class around the league will probably have not much of an impact considering the offseason was so wacky.
Sure, but and, I mean, for Isaiah Wilson to be as much of a mess as he has been off the field,
yeah.
At some point, somebody at Georgia, some of your research should have at least pulled you through to that.
These first three round picks seem a bit extreme as far as not getting anything. I mean, Darrington Evans is returning kicks, and I guess Fulton has one interception. And, I mean, I guess we could go around the league and do some type of research on how the top three picks are doing across the league from all the teams. But these first three picks have not gone well.
Well, and Laurell Murchison was the other pick in the fifth round, and he's inactive every game. So, yeah, all those are the one I can't get over is Logan Ryan. I cannot get over Logan Ryan. You knew what you had in Logan Ryan. You knew it. And it was like, well, we need more speed, and Logan doesn't offer speed, and the dude took a one-year, $1 million. I think it was $1 million. I think it was like up to three in incentives or something. He took a one-year, $1 million contract with the Giants. And he's now re-signed for 3 years, $30 million. Because the Giants clearly value the leadership and what they've gotten out of Logan Ryan. There is no doubt this team misses the leadership of Logan Ryan. And you knew what you had in Logan Ryan. I knew what you had in Logan Ryan, and I'm not even in that building every day. So how could you ghost Logan Ryan the way you did? That's like if you had a girlfriend, right? And it was a girlfriend that you just, you didn't like love her. Like, you weren't just obsessed with her. You weren't intoxicated with her every second you were around her. But she's smart. She's funny. She's cute. She has the same interests as you. And it worked. And you liked it. But then you were like, nah, you know, I think I can do better. And then you don't. And you're like, oh, God, I miss her. And that's how I feel about Logan Ryan. I mean, I knew it. I saw it coming. And if I could see it coming, and if I value, and Floyd wanted Logan back, we had people that called the show that suggested using the franchise tag on Logan Ryan over Derrick Henry, like, and they didn't do it. And everybody in that secondary is worse. Every single player in the secondary is worse than they were last year, except for maybe Butler. Jackson's worse, Byard's worse, Vaccaro's worse, Desmond King doesn't have a clue out there on defense. And so the one that gets me, if we're gonna put Robin, and you all know how I felt about Clowney, but the one that gets me every time is Logan Ryan, who, again, by the way, all Logan wanted was he called the Titans and wanted the $10 million that he made last year. Now, I argue that if you call and you say, hey, I'd like $10 million to come back, I'd say, Logan, man, like, I love you, and you know how important you are to this team, and you know how important you are to that secondary, and you know how important you are to those guys. We'll love you. But that's a little too hot. What about 6 million? What about 5 million with incentives to get you to 10? How about that? No. Robinson just didn't call back. And then they gave his number to Kristen Fulton, and Logan left. And I think they miss what they had in Logan Ryan. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll wrap the show up next. Some of the highlights of what Mike Vrabel had to say, plus big Monday Night Football game today. I think everybody should watch, and hopefully we get some optimism from the Monday Night Football game. I want to touch on that as well. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Get in now before the end of the year. You only got a couple of days. If you want the cash that my friends at Hiller are giving away, that's right, they are legitimately just giving away money for the holidays. Hiller, for every tankless water heater purchase, they're giving away a $250 Visa gift card with each unit. You can get a $500 Visa gift card when you buy select new HVAC systems, or get a $500 Visa gift card with the purchase of any new whole home generator. They have more specials online at happyhiller.com. As always, happy you'll be, or the service is free. And let me tell you, I had Hiller out last week. They took care of two things for me. One, I got my Happy Hiller Club tune-up, and they fixed some light fixtures for me. I'm bringing them out to fix even more light fixtures because they did such a good job the first time. I absolutely love them. They do a great job. Their technicians are trained. They are smart. And, of course, they are following all the guidelines: masks, gloves, social distance, digital payments, and much, much more. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. My guys, they're proud supporters of the Tennessee Volunteers and the Nashville Predators. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today. I want to give a shout-out. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. I want to give a shout-out to Ian. We have done a four-hour show. No calls. Our phones are down because of our phones are down. I'm guessing it's related to the bombing and how that affected the AT&T building. And I want to give a shout-out to Ian because we've done 4 hours, one guest on the show today. A lot of shows, and not just, you know, I'm really talking about a lot of sports radio shows across the country, will book a ton of guests every show to talk about everything. We don't really do that around here. It's more of a caller-driven show. We had a bunch of texts into the text line today, but the fact that we carried 4 hours by ourselves without having to stray off of the Titans, without having to get into things that you don't really care about just to pass the time, without... You know, what was your favorite moment? Call in. We can't even do that because we don't have any phones. So for us to do that, really impressive. So shout out to Ian for his role.
That's mostly on you, bro. Nicely done.
Well, I think it's funny that I get criticized by people who are, you know, complete hacks in this industry. You know, like not even worth my time. I get criticized and they can't do one segment by themselves, much less do a 4 hour show. Like, have some talent. And so, anywho, but I get distracted with that. But I laugh at it internally. Anywho, tonight, the Buffalo Bills go up against the Patriots. They have not swept a season series with the Patriots since 1999. They go up against the Patriots tonight on Monday Night Football. And if the Patriots lose, it'll be their first losing season since 2000. I'm watching tonight's game. And I'm looking at Buffalo, and I know the Titans already beat Buffalo in October, and I know it was a blowout, but I'm going to keep it real with you guys. I think if you played them 10 times, I don't think you blow them out 9 times. I'm going to be looking at Buffalo and seeing, do I think the Titans could beat Buffalo if they draw into Buffalo in a playoff game? That is something I'm going to be watching for coming up tonight. Time to take a look at the big topics from Mike Vrabel's press conference today. One big news and note we'll be watching throughout the course of the week. Deshaun Watson injured his hand at the end of the Cincinnati-Houston game this weekend. It looks like Watson's going to play. Romeo Crennel said today, if Watson is cleared by the medical staff of the Texans, then Deshaun will go on Sunday against the Titans. I hope he doesn't. Mike Vrabel was asked a lot of questions. And Mike Vrabel, even when asked questions about last night's game, he wanted to turn the page, go right on to the Houston Texans. And he was asked about how familiar it is to play a team that they know in the Texans in such a big game.
Does it help to play a familiar foe in this scenario where it's such a big game?
Well, I think familiarity, I mean, there's that happens every week. Sometimes you know, the teams in your division, or you played them often, and you know we'll have to understand who the go-to guys are. You know, we'll understand what makes Deshaun, you know, so good and talented, and trying to find ways to affect him. Their go-to receivers, and now it looks like, you know, David Johnson obviously is getting some momentum here.
Here's my problem about playing a team so familiar in a big game, which is, what do the Texans have to play for? They suck. They're getting a new general manager at the end of the year. They're getting a new head coach at the end of the year. Deshaun Watson's lighting up the scoreboard. That's good. But what's the motivation for the Texans? And they get the motivation because they've got a chance to ruin the Titans' season. They've got a chance to keep the Titans from winning the division. And not only that, because it's a familiar foe, they know your weaknesses, and they know they can throw the ball on you all day long because they already did it. Remember Deshaun Watson's reaction the last time they played when the coin toss at overtime, when they lost the coin toss and Deshaun dropped to his knees like, oh my God, I knew if I won the toss, I'd go win the game. That I don't like. What about the past experience? Last week, the Titans played a Houston team last season, the Titans played a Houston team. When and you were in, Houston had nothing to play for. Derrick Henry ran for 200 yards, took home the rushing title, and the Titans went on to the playoffs. How about that past experience?
And Mike, you've been in this scenario before. I know it's a different team, but do experiences of the past maybe help you in pressure pack situations like this?
I think you just, you know, you have to play well. You have to play. You have to execute the keys. You have to understand what's important that goes into winning. And I think that's what's important. You know, playing well and coaching well is going to be important.
Sounds like Vrabel's answer to that is no. It does not matter that this was the same situation they were in last year. They got to play well. They got to coach well. And I actually agree. Sometimes I think experience matters in certain things. I don't really think experience matters when it comes to this kind of a game. What about the offsides? Even Terry McCauley on the NBC broadcast ripped the refs for the Josh Kalu offside call on the blocked field goal yesterday. Vrabel was asked about that today.
On the Kalu one, again, not that it made a big difference, but did you ever get a better look at that? And did you end up thinking that was offsides or not?
Yeah, you know, John, I coached fifth grade baseball in the Columbus Diocesan League. We were three-time Diocesan champs. I coached with Mike Mulligan. And Mike Mulligan would tell the boys, and he would remind me that when you show up for the game, you should expect some bad calls. And you should expect some called strikes that you thought were a ball. And I try to use the same approach that it's a part of the game. There may or may not be mistakes made. And we have to sit there and live with what's called. And we have to do a better job of making sure that those aren't close. And that's how it goes.
I do love the fact that Vrabel gives a shout-out to Ohio State baseball anytime he gets an opportunity. Mike Vrabel is a big, big, big Ohio State baseball fan. But, yes, he is right. You're never going to catch a coach who's going to sit there and bemoan a call like that the day after a game. That's going to do it for us. We are back tomorrow starting at 2 o'clock. I do believe we will have some very interesting company. We'll have the college football playoff on our minds. We get set for that as well. Trevor will join us. Meanwhile, Preds insiders, Ryan Porth, Willie Donick, they've got the latest. Mikhail Granlund re-signs. They're starting off on that, and it starts next right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.